cling to that old ragged cross. And when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to that old ragged cross.
Thank you very much, Brother Raley and Miss Raley. And Brother Combs, you just make sure I got enough power and juice here. Not too loud, but enough so I don't have to project. And because since I'm just sharing tonight, I don't want to project too loud. And but it's been a good day. And God has blessed and had some wonderful things. You know, it's always a blessing when you get notes in the mail and of to hear what God's doing. And I mentioned to you on Sunday that Brother Robert Graff and the Gospelite Baptist Church in Sanger had Friend Day. Their goal was 50. They had 70 in attendance. They had 8 saved and 1 baptized on their Friend Day. And I told you, Brother Hinton, as keeps me up on what's going down, or what's going on down in Aransas Pass. And I think there's been one Sunday since he's been there that they hadn't had somebody saved and or baptized since the time he's been down there. And so it's exciting to see what God is doing around and using some men from that are based out of our church, where some of them raised in our church, and God's called out and separated to serve him in other areas. And so it's always exciting to see that happen and hear that news. And so I wanted to share that bit with you. Go ahead and take your Bible, if you would, tonight. Turn with me to 1 Kings, 1 Kings, chapter number 21. 1 Kings, chapter number 21. I want to speak to you tonight, church, on a, I think, is a very, very important area that I think probably all of us, to some degree, some more than others, maybe, but I think we all struggle with to some degree. And I want to use a very familiar story. As we read it, you'll pick up on it. It'll be familiar to you. And to preach tonight about this one particular truth that I think so very, very important. Everybody find your place in 1 Kings 21. Would you stand? Follow along with me as I read in 1 Kings chapter 21, beginning in verse number 1. The scripture says, "And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or, if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid it me." Now I want you to write out in the margin of your Bible, here's what Naboth said. No. That's what he said. He says, "The Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee." It was not ethical. It was not natural for that, for someone to give their inheritance that had been handed down from generation to generation to give it away, even if it was to the king, or even sell it. And Ahab said, or came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word. What was the word that Naboth used? No? Okay. So he came because he was displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, Why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, Because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite and said unto him, Give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not. No, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, Dost thou not govern the kingdom of Israel? Now, you say, interpret, please. Here's what she said. You're the king. You don't have to come to some kind of bargain with this guy. Just go take it. You're the king. Man up. That's what she's saying to him. She said, Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. And may I say, we're going to stop reading there? She did. But we're going to find out how she did. And here's what I want to preach to you about, because this is what started their demise. Now listen, they were already rotten to the core. But this is what started their demise, and here's what it is. And this is what I'm going to preach to you about. How do you respond to no? When someone tells you no, how do you respond to no? You know that little two-letter word, no? It's not only hard to intake and digest when someone tells us no. Do you know it's also equally as hard to bring up and say no? When temptation comes, when all the things of life come, you know what? It just seems just so difficult for so many people to say no. But did you notice how these people responded when they were told no? And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. Father, would you meet with us? Because this is such an important area. And I believe, Lord, so many good people, not rotten people, not bad people, not evil people, but so many good people get sidelined every year from the Church of the Living God and from serving the Lord because they cannot deal and cannot respond and have not responded well when told no. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight to learn and grab a hold of this truth, that we might be able to respond the proper way. And we'll give you the glory for all that shall be accomplished in this service tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can be seated. I want to start off, church, and say that, you know, most of us, we live a pretty comfortable life. And for the most part, we go through our day and, you know, somewhat happy and routinely. You know, we rise up early in the morning and, you know, most have their devotion time. And, of course, I'm not sure whether it's a cup of coffee first and then devotion, or devotion then the cup of coffee. But most people get up early in the morning, have their devotion time with God, and they spend maybe a few minutes on the treadmill. Amen. Isn't that exciting? They plan their day, and they get into motion to accomplish whatever the goals that they've set for that day. Their day's running, you know, pretty much according to schedule, and they're having a great day because everything is going according to plan. Listen, everything's going exactly like they planned it until someone steps in their way and says no. As long as everything is going their way and according to their plan, I think I'm ringing just a little bit, Brother Bob. As long as everything's going their way and according to their plan, everything's fine until someone says no. And then all of a sudden, that one little word seems to be the very thing that seems to be an activator word. It activates something that starts from the bottom of some people's feet and goes to the top of their head in a matter of seconds. It's like that word, they cannot deal with that word. Let me give you an illustration. You've had a tight schedule, men. It's been a busy day, right? We're hard workers. And it's been a busy day, and you got to the end of the day and you forgot it was your wife's birthday. And so you realize it's 7 o'clock. Oh my goodness, I need to stop by the florist and get some flowers. And so you drive to the florist shop and you pull up there and you notice the lights are dim in there. And you walk up there and pull on the door, and that's the worst feeling in the world, isn't it, guys? Locked. And so you see some people in the back there and you begin to bang on the door. Hey, hey, hey! Finally, one of the ladies comes to the door and she's talking to you through the door. You say, hey, listen, it's an emergency. It's always an emergency. It's an emergency. It's my wife's birthday and I forgot to get flowers. Listen, I don't care how much it costs. I need some flowers. And she says, I'm sorry, sir, we're closed. You don't understand, ma'am. I've got to have some flowers. I said, sir, we're closed. Good night. Now, guess how we respond? All of a sudden, listen, now I'm telling you, this is the typical response. The typical response is we get upset because they told us they were closed. Had it ever dawned on us they've been working all day too? They've been at work since early that morning? And the thing about it is, what we come to the conclusion is, because of our lack of planning, it constitutes an emergency on their part. But it doesn't. You see, we get upset because they tell us no, and then we say things like this, well, you know what? I'll never do business with y'all again. Y'all are closed down. You're not in it for the customer. And boy, we just walk all over them. Why? Because they told us, no, I'm not opening the door. You're not getting any flowers from here. And so, all because we were told no, and it didn't fit into our plans and goals, because, by the way, we meant to get there on time, right? But we didn't. And because we were told no, and they weren't going to open the door, and I wasn't going to get my way, all of a sudden, they're the enemy. They're the villain. And listen to me, now everything's their fault. So we go home, no flowers. And the wife, you said, honey, I know it's your birthday. I tried to stop by the florist, but they wouldn't sell me any flowers. And so what we do is we make everything look like it was the florist's fault, when ultimately it was our fault, and then we are in a bad spirit and a bad mood because someone told us, you're not having your way. Now, listen very carefully. Church, unfortunately, this is the way that's too common of a response when most people are told no. You see, no is one of those activator words, like I mentioned just a moment ago, that tends to rub us the wrong way. It appears to us to be a barrier between what I want and what I got. And sometimes we don't like it. I want us to look tonight for just a moment at how Ahab responded when Naboth said, you're not getting my vineyard. No. What is it about N-O you don't understand? No. Not going to get it. Well, here's how he responded. He was the king. And did you notice, normally the king owns a lot of property. So why did he want this one? You say, well, it was because it was close to the palace. I understand. But why Naboth's? Okay, so you go ask the guy, hey, I'd like this vineyard. And he says, no, you know what you do? So, okay, you move on to somebody else that's close by. But that isn't what he did. Oh, by the way, did you notice when Ahab approached Naboth, he approached him with a wrong spirit to begin with. If you'll look at your Bible, I want you to notice how he approached him about the vineyard. He spake unto Naboth, verse 2, saying, give me thy vineyard. Didn't ask him. He just said, I want your vineyard. And here's what he said. Now, Mr. Naboth, you got two choices. He says, now, you can either swap vineyards with me, You can either do that. Oh, by the way, may I say something about that? Ahab was a king. I've never seen the government ever take something good and give something good back. Amen? So he said, I tell you what I'll do. Give me your vineyard and I'll swap it for a vineyard better than that. Yeah, it's better under his definition of better. See, the thing about it is, his definition of better might have been a vineyard 15 miles away. What good was that going to do Naboth? And then he says, so you can either swap vineyards with me or I'll give you the price of your vineyard. But guess who gets to dictate what the price is? The king does. So he gets to decide what the price is going to be. So this is how he approached Naboth. And Naboth couldn't give it away or sell it because it was an inheritance. It was unlawful, it was unethical for him to do so. Now, the scripture says Ahab was heavy. You say, was he upset? Yeah, he would probably, you ever seen a kid when they're told, particularly little smaller kids, and they're told no about something? You ever seen them? They go. That's how I kind of picture that he did. He was heavy, and the scripture said, not only that, but he was displeased. He was angry. So he didn't respond to no real well. So what he does is he goes back home, falls on his bed, turns his face to the wall, and won't eat. I'll show him. So he's going, listen, you say, what did he do? He threw a fit. That's what he did. He threw a fit because he didn't get his way. Now, listen carefully. Why did he respond negatively to Naboth? Well, I want you to just think about some things here, and then we'll give you some things to write down for just a moment, okay? Maybe some possible reasons why some of us, just like Ahab, don't respond to no very well. We respond negatively. And I want you to listen very carefully. First of all, it may be that we don't respond to no very well is because no is a hard word to swallow. Now listen, because we think if it's okay with us, it should be okay with them. Right? Hey, I want the vineyard. And if I want the vineyard and it's okay with me, it ought to be okay with you. Naboth didn't see it that way. That was his inheritance. And so when Ahab came to him and made the proposition, trade me or I'll buy it. Now which it'll be? No. Now wait. That wasn't one of the choices, sir. No was not one of the choices. Yeah, I know it wasn't, but I'm not selling and I'm not bargaining. No, I'm not allowing you my vineyard. It's my inheritance. Ahab is a king. You know, and the property was close to the palace and he wanted his way. And you know what? If I want my way, then you need to respond the way I want you to respond. So when Naboth didn't respond like he thought he was, because by the way, he was the king, he got upset. But you know something? Do you know every person has a right when someone comes to you and propositions you? I don't care what it's about. You have every right to say no. And if someone tells you no, you know how you're to respond to that? Okay, thank you. And move on. But unfortunately, folks, listen, most people don't respond that way. We throw a fit. We get mad. We get upset. We don't, and listen, I've never understood this either. It's a lot of times when we don't get our way and somebody says no, we thought, I'll show them. I'll just not talk to them anymore. Now, Ahab thought he would say, I'll show Naboth. I'll go home, throw myself in my bed, and I'm not going to eat. That's how he responded. Like it was going to do something to Naboth. So he throws a fit. He goes home and he responds like, hey, if it's okay with me, it ought to be okay with you. Folks, it don't operate that way. It might be okay with you, but it might not be okay with someone else. That's the reason, young ladies, listen to me. When you have a filthy-minded young man that comes to you and propositions you, you know what you say? No! That's what you say. He says, well, listen, all I'm going to do is hold your hand. You say, you hold my hand. You're not going to have a hand. No! And by the way, guys, if she says no, you know what you ought to say? Okay. And then, ladies, the next thing in your mind you ought to do is you need to go tell your father. Amen. Now, all I'm saying is no. We don't respond well to no. The next thing I find that seems to be around human nature is many times we respond negatively to no because we've never been told no before. Amen. And the person actually followed through with their decision. How many times have somebody told you, now listen, no, you're not going to do that. And then we gripe or this, and finally they give in. But then you meet up with somebody that says no, and they actually mean no. And then when they mean no, boy, you know what we do? We get upset because we didn't get our way. You see, how many people do you think had told Ahab no to any of his requests and lived about it, to tell about it? You say, well, he's a pretty good old guy, wasn't he? Well, the scripture says that when there was no king in Israel that provoked God to wrath more than Ahab did. So how many people you think prior to Naboth had ever told him no? You see, being the son of a king, I doubt very, very much, Brother Garner, he was ever told no. So when someone told him no, he didn't know how to respond to it. So guess what he did? He responded the only way that the old flesh knows. He threw a fit. He got mad. He went home and pouted about it. And then let me say one other thing, and I'll move on off of this, and that is this. Sometimes we respond negatively to no because our plan of intimidation to get our way backfired. Somebody didn't buy it. You see, the thing about it is, Ahab was a king. Matter of fact, Jezebel reminded him, you're a king. You don't have to deal with this peasant. You just go take it. What do you mean you told you no? You know what? She probably said, if he'd have told me no, he wouldn't have a head. So she reminded him, listen, you're the king. Just go take the land. My goodness. You see, the thing is, sometimes people try to get their way by intimidation. You see, Ahab tried to intimidate Naboth into handing over the vineyard by offering him a better vineyard. Yeah, right? Or purchasing it for a price, by the way, that he would determine. Now, let me just say this. Ahab was not the only one in Scripture who was told no. Can I take you all the way back to the Garden of Eden for just a moment? God created a man and a woman. And he gave them a simple one, folks, one no in all the earth. He said, you can eat of every tree of the garden, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you can't eat of that tree. You know what he told Adam and Eve? No! You cannot eat of this tree. Now let me say something here right quick. They were in a perfect environment. We're not. They were in a sinless environment. We're not. And you know what? They couldn't say no. And God had told them no. They didn't respond properly to no. And welcome to our world now. You know why we're in the sinful condition that we're in? Because somebody didn't respond to no very well. That's why we're in the condition that we're in. God said, don't eat. They ignored it. May I remind you in 2 Samuel chapter 6 that God had also told another person in the Bible no? He told a man by the name of Uzzah, no, we cannot touch the ark. Now the thing about it is, Uzzah probably had just as good an excuse as anybody because the oxen stumbled and all of a sudden the ark looked like it was about to slide off. So by the way, he needed to stop the ark from falling off the cart, right? He touched the ark. You know what happened to him? Bye-bye, Uzzah. He died. Why? Because God said no, and he didn't respond very well to no. You say, but he did it ignorantly. No, he didn't. He already knew. You say, but the ark was about to fall off. I understand. You know what you say? What should he have done? Let it fall off. Because God said, don't touch it. It's holy. Uzzah lost his life because he disobeyed God. Adam and Eve plunged mankind into sin because they responded the wrong way to no. Let me take you to the New Testament right quick. Remember the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 16? Remember the Holy Ghost of God forbid them to preach the word in Asia? Remember Paul? That's Paul was heading that direction. And the Holy Ghost said, no, not going to preach the gospel in Asia. So Paul said, okay, I'll go to Bithynia. And the Holy Ghost said, not going to go to Bithynia either. And then right after that, he had a vision. And remember the guy in Macedonia? Hey, come over here and help us. On two different occasions, Paul was told by the Holy Ghost, no. You say, but wait a minute, preacher. Don't people need to be saved in Asia? Yeah, but God said you're not going there right now. Didn't people need to be saved in Bithynia? Yeah, but God said you're not going there right now. He said, I've got a man in Macedonia. I've got a people prepared for you. This is where you're going to go right now. So how did Paul respond to no? Yes, Lord. And guess what happened? The gospel came to us because he obeyed and responded to know the right way. So here the difference. You got Adam and Eve responded the wrong way, plunged mankind into sin. Uzzah responded the wrong way, lost his life. Paul responded the right way, and guess what? We got the gospel. Let me give you one more example here. You ever wondered why they want the Ten Commandments out of public places? Because you know what the predominant word in the Ten Commandments is? No! Right? So what's the best way, what's the best thing to do? Remove the no. 9 out of 10 commandments have some association with the word no. Thou shalt not. And so you know what? Because that rubs us the wrong way. What do? You just get rid of the no. So you kick the Ten Commandments out of public places. So I said that tonight, church, to help you to see and help me to see that people respond to no in different ways. But may I say to you that there are some things in Scripture when God says no, they're for your benefit. Remember mama? Remember when your mama and daddy told you, they said, listen, you're not going to go and spend the night with that boy. Or you're not going to go and spend the night with that girl. There's just something that, no, you're not going to do it. And you remember, well, we just got, well, I don't understand. They're my friend. And then you realize the next day something happened at their house. Something went on at their house. Something tragic went on their house. And then you thought, and listen, and here's what a lot of times we do. What we do. Mom and dad were right, but we don't want to give them any credit. See, mom and dad were right because when they said, no, you're not going over there because there's just something not right about that. But the thing about it is we don't like to give them very much credit. So a lot of times we don't respond the right way to no. Now, here's what I want to do. I want to give you just 3 things, if you'll jot these down real quick, about responding to no. First of all, let me say this to you, church, jot this down. The word no is the enemy of pride. Do you hear me? The word no is the number one curse word of the word of pride. Because when pride hears no, you know what pride says? Pride says, you know what? You can't tell me what to do. I'm going to do it anyway. I wonder if we walked down here to Moore Memorial Gardens and walked through all of those grave sites out there and looked around. I wonder how many of those people would still be alive today if they would have responded right to know? I wonder how many of them would be alive today if they would have listened to someone that gave them instructions and told them no. You see, the thing about it is, no's the enemy of pride, and it serves as a barrier to getting our way. Folks, listen to me. We need to fess up to something, and that is, all of us are guilty of wanting our way. We like things done a certain way, and if somebody gets in our way and says, no, we're not doing this way, we throw a fit. We throw a fit. You know why? It's an old flesh. Pride. All of us eat up with it. That depraved flesh. Oh, let me just interject something here. You know, sometimes we want our way. Did you know that your way may not be the best way? Someone else may have a better way, but because it wasn't your way, we get upset, throw a fit, give people the silent treatment, turn the shoulder, don't talk to them. Because we didn't get our way. They told us no. And that's exactly what happened to Ahab. No is the enemy of pride. Just like I said, just casually sometimes watch a little child respond to no. You know, particularly the little ones, and they, you know, you're trying to train them up and love them and teach them and stuff. And listen, I've seen many of them. Now, you cannot do this. Do not mess with that toy. I said no. Now, here's the thing. As an adult, we may not do this outwardly, but that's what we're doing inwardly. We'll say, okay, but inside we're going. Because things didn't go like we wanted them to. And so no is the enemy of pride. Now, I want you to listen carefully. To respond negatively when told no is to reveal the level of pride in your life. So a lot of times when we respond negatively and we throw a fit or we get upset, what it's doing is revealing the level of pride that exists in your life. We need to respond the right way to no. Number two, let me ask you this question. When someone tells you no, does it affect your spirit? Does it affect your spirit? Like I said, it affected Ahab's because he threw a fit. Does it affect your spirit of service for Christ? You know, there's some people that don't. This is how they respond to no. Okay, they don't get their way about something. Oh, so y'all, I'll just quit church. Now, what's that going to help? That's not going to help anybody. That's going to hurt you. You say, well, how do you respond when somebody tells you no? You sit down and explain. Okay, would you explain to me? I know that we don't see eye to eye here. Explain to me your position, and I'll give you and work through it. That's what you do. You communicate. You don't run from the problem. But does it affect your spirit of service for Christ? You know, sometimes people are told no, and they'll just quit their service. They'll quit doing whatever they're doing in the church to serve God. Because someone had to tell them, no, we're not going to do it this way. This is how we're going to do it. Do you display a disagreeable countenance? I want you to listen to Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13. The scripture says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. You see, the thing about it is, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. And as long as everything's going our way, God is good. And I love everybody. Until you stand in my way. Until you tell me no, and I don't get my way, and I don't get to do certain things like I want to do them, then all of a sudden, things totally change. Do you treat people differently? Do you treat people differently that may tell you no? You see, obviously, Ahab's countenance and spirit drew the concern of his wife Jezebel, because, you know what? A grown man don't go throw himself on the bed, face the wall, and sulk and says he's not going to eat. You know who does that? I'd expect that out of a five-year-old, not a king. Right? So obviously his countenance and his spirit drew the attention of his wife and said, "What's wrong, honey? Now, I'm exaggerating, but that's how I feel. That's how I kind of see that he responded. I'm telling you. You can always, listen, I can tell you many times, you know what I've had to tell people? No, we're not going to do it that way. Immediately, I can tell right off the bat, all I got to do is look at their eyes. And I can tell you right off the bat whether they're angry or not. Because you know what happens immediately? Their pupils dilate. I'm telling you. Their pupils dilate, and you can see it in their eyes, and their eyes start moving. Hey, I've been in this too long, folks. I can read people like a book. And when you tell them no, you listen, they may say, "Okay, Pastor," they may say that with their lips, but they're disagreeing with their eyes. Amen. Isn't this good? Hey, I'm just telling you, folks. I'm telling you, pride, we're eat up with it. We can't deal with no. Now, boy, I'm telling you one thing. We're in love with yes. Man, we want to give yes sugar. Boy, I'm telling you, when no comes, we don't like him very much. And our countenance shows it. And many times, listen, you know, when you're preaching, if you've never taught or when you're preaching or teaching on a particular thing, a lot of times you can look at that. You can always tell who's on board with you and who's not. And by the way, you know something? I can't see the heart. You know where it shows? On their countenance. And normally it's something like this. And boy, when the arms fold, you're done, brother. It's over. Their countenance shows everything. I'm just saying, how do you respond? Does it affect your spirit? Let me give you one more, and I want you to listen. This is important. Do you complain to others instead of taking it to the Lord in prayer? You hear me? So you know what Ahab does? Here's what he does. He's sulking, he's whining, so guess what? Mama Jezebel comes to him. "What's wrong, hon? That man, he told me I couldn't have his vineyard." "You mean he told you no? You're the king. You don't have to work with him. You just go take it." "I tell you what I did. I tell you what, you go and get you a little bite to eat. Go ahead and make you a sandwich. There's plenty of stuff in the refrigerator. Why don't you just make you a sandwich, kick your shoes off, and watch your favorite movie? I'll get that vineyard for you. I'll show you how to get what you want. You hear me? Now I want you to listen, and you listen to me well. She decided, I'm going to show you how to respond to these little punks that say no. I'm going to show you how to respond to a teacher that tells my kid no. Amen. You just go ahead and just relax and play. I'll go take care of that with that teacher. Come on now. I know this ain't fun, but you know I'm telling the truth. Now, what I'm saying to you is you're teaching your children that when they're told no, all they've got to do is go find a Jezebel and they'll go take care of it for you. You hear what I'm saying? And you're destroying your kids. You hear me? You're destroying them. So Jezebel says, "Honey, you just lay right there. I'll take care of it for you." And may I say to you, she did. She took care of it. You see, you may complain to someone, listen to me now, who feels that they need to justify your position. So what happens? You tell somebody and they think, "Listen, you know what? That's God. That teacher can't tell their child that something like that." And all of a sudden they get this commando mentality that they need to defend the cause. And what happens is they end up making a mountain out of a molehill when all you need to do is just talk about it and contact and communicate and probably get it resolved.
May I say to you, this is how false accusations get started and people form opinions based on bad information. That's how it gets started. Because someone was told no and they didn't respond to it well. And listen to me, church, here's the last thing. How you respond to no can help someone or hurt someone. And you know who paid the price because Ahab didn't respond to no very well? Naboth did. Because Jezebel ends up murdering Naboth. You say, well, how did the whole story end? Well, Jezebel goes back and says, honey, I got some good news for you. You're not going to believe this. What happened? Naboth died last night. Isn't that something? Now listen, when she went back and told him that Naboth was dead, you know he never even questioned how she got it? He never even confronted her. Well, I just talked to him yesterday. You mean he's dead? Oh, yeah, he just died overnight. What happened? I don't know. Boy, he must have said something wrong. The people in town stoned him. She didn't tell him she was behind it. So you know what? He's so happy now. He got his way. But the story's not over yet. Listen, he got what he wanted, but by the time he got to the vineyard, you know who was waiting on him? The preacher. The preacher was waiting on him. Hey, you know what that would be like? That would be like a man that was messing around with another man's wife, showing up at her house, and the preacher's in his car waiting on him out the curb. And he gets out, starts walking the door. He says, hey, bro, what's going on, Dave? What you doing here? What you doing messing with another man's vineyard? You see, when Ahab got down there, he couldn't even enjoy the vineyard because the preacher was waiting on him. And you know what the preacher forecasted? The preacher forecasted his death. Oh, by the way, not only that, but sweet mama Jezebel's death also. He said the dogs will lick your blood. Wait a minute. In the place where Naboth's blood was shed. You know how Ahab tried to get around that? He tried to disguise himself. He's going to hide from God. So he's going to disguise himself so God can't identify him. Now you know what? The Bible just says a certain man drew a bow and shot it. He didn't know where that arrow was going. You know what I think? I think he shot it and God just caught that arrow and threw it in the right place. Popped him right under, right between the ribs. And he fell down in the chair and said, get me out of the battle. By the time they got him back, his blood had filled the chariot. He died at even, and they washed the chariot out, and guess who came licking blood? You know who told him that was going to happen? The preacher did. Because he didn't respond to no very well. You say, how many years went past, preacher, before that happened? 3. But you know, God don't forget how we respond to no. See, the thing about it is we may respond negatively today, but you may not pay the price for 3 or 4 years down the road. But let me tell you something, and you listen to what I'm saying. The day that God judges your ill response to no, you will know it. Because the Holy Ghost of God say, oh, by the way, this is payment for 3 years ago. This is payment for how you treated someone 3 years ago because they told you no. And you know what? You quit the church, quit them, didn't talk to them, treated them like trash, tried to deface their character. This is why this is happening. You will know. But it's how we respond to no. Would you bow your heads for a moment tonight? How many can say, preacher, I know for sure I'm saved. No question about it. I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. I'm saved. I've been born again. No question about it. All right, wonderful. You can put your hands down. The Father, I ask you to bless this invitation time. Thank you for speaking to us a truth. And I pray that, Lord, that we would take this truth tonight and put it to practice in our life because it is so important how we respond when we're told no. And Lord, we're told in Scripture many times that we are not to do certain things. And how we respond to that then dictates how you respond to us. And so my prayer is
that, Lord, we would get a hold of that. And when no comes our way, that we respond the right way. And so I pray that in our heart that tonight would be, you'd have your will in this service. Now with heads bowed and eyes